God is a good, good God. He loves us, and He's given us liberty to be here tonight. And I hope that don't blow you out of the water.
Can you hear me? All right. It is good to be in the house of the Lord with you. I hope that you are blessed. As we come tonight, we've been out and about, and I challenged folks last night to go out and find folks. Some of you said you was bringing 10, and right now they ain't here. I ain't going to be mad, but I'm going to get you to try it one more time tomorrow night. Amen. If you're visiting with us, I don't know who you are because I don't go to church here, so that's good. Amen. And if you're supposed to be here and you wasn't, that's good too. Amen. See, nobody's going to respond because they don't want me to know who it is. Amen. All right. As we come tonight, I am glad to be here for this revival setting, and I just want to challenge you this week. The revival, if we get in line with the verbiage of that and the real background of what it means to have revival, it's for the church. And I'm interested in the fact that if the church gets right, lost people get saved. When lost people understand what the church is all about and what we're supposed to be doing, they want a little part of it. The problem in America today in our churches is I'm not sure we know what the church is all about. You see, as we sang a minute ago, you heard the gospel and flew it. Meaning this, everything that Jesus came to do was lived out because He loved us. He came and died for us. He got up out of the grave for us, and He's coming again. In the mix of that, if we're not careful, there are people around you and I tonight that live in our neighborhoods, that live amongst us, that the real reality is most of our church folk, most of the people who come through the doors of our facilities, most of the people who come to gather have had some type of experience with the Scripture, and have had some type, based on what we've done, had some type of experience in history with what it means to go to church. But can I tell you that today, 85% of the world around you has no idea what the book says about the church. They don't have any idea how it's supposed to function because, first of all, we're not functioning correctly. Amen or oh me. The second is they've never been in book, never heard the story, and we've not expressed it to them. This is what the church is about. If you'll flip over, and this is just the introduction, Matthew, Jesus, this man who was born of a virgin, walked on the planet, got involved in what was happening in the world for some 30 years, walked around and was a sinless man. I don't really know how to describe that to you because there's too much sin around us. But here's the deal, you must believe it because without the sinless, spotless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, we have no hope, and Jesus Christ was sinless. When he hit about 30 years old, he began to do his ministry, and we have the chronicles of his ministry through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and beginning in the first part of Acts. In the mix of it, don't miss this, because he takes 12 guys and says, "Hey, come follow me." He's walking along doing his thing, and he walks by the seashore, and there's these guys fishing. "Hey, come follow me." And they begin to follow, and they get the tax collector. "Hey, come follow me. Hey, Doc, would you come follow me? Hey, fellas, come follow me." And guess what? They began to follow. Can I tell you what you need to do as church members? You need to start looking to people and say, "Hey, come follow me. I want to show you something." Remember that. He gets them together, and in the mix of it, without going into great detail, I just want to set the stage for where I want to go in the book of Acts. Jesus looks at his people, and in the mix of it, he's got Simon Peter with him there in chapter 16. And in the mix of it, Jesus has had this conversation with them, and he says, "Whom do men say that I am the Son of Man? Who do they say the Son of Man am?" And they gave all these things about other prophets and people and stuff that they had reflected on. And he says, "But let me ask you a question. Church, listen to me. Denominations told you what to say. Granny's told you what to say. Heritage has told you what to say. And I believe today that it's time that the church stands back and says, because of the question that's reflected to you and I tonight from the Savior, who do you say that I am?" Now don't miss this, because it could be part of the problem with our process. Old Peter, the big mouth that causes trouble, and later denies him several times. Verse 16 says this, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." If you can't say that personally, you're missing it. Now in the mix of this, here's what he says. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou. And look at everybody, look at me. I'm not here to offend anybody, but here's what I know in the culture we're living in and what I found while I've been up here in Missouri. Some people have taken this verse and messed it all up, including us Baptist folk. Hello? So I'm not here to offend you. I'm just trying to explain the Scripture. And there are people around you that need to understand what this thing says. And the problem is we don't know what it says. Therefore, we can't explain it to other people who have got it messed up. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's hard to explain this verse. But he says to them, listen, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. Unless you're saved, this doesn't make a lick of sense, is what Jesus is saying. The only way you know this is because you've got relationship with me and the Holy Spirit of God's identified that for you. We're not a church to just have church. We're not here because it's a place to come and a place to serve and a place to do. It is because the living God lives in us through a relationship in Jesus Christ. And listen to what he says. And I say unto thee, verse 18, that thou art Peter, comma. There's a reason for that. Peter, you're the one that answered this. Look at me. Y'all with me? Peter, you're the one that answered this. Upon that statement, upon your testimony, upon what you believe, upon what you've said, I will build my church. He didn't say, Peter, upon you I'll build my church. That's not in there. Amen? I'm not here to bash anything. I want to set a stage. But listen to me. He said, I will build my church. Verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Don't miss that. Underline it. Circle it. Mark it beside it. Do something with it tonight, because here's the deal. God gave us the keys to what's needed in the world today. There's a lock. There's something blocked. There's something messed up. There's a challenge in it. And he's given those of us who know him as the church, who know him as born-again believers, those of us who have been blood-bought, those of us who in a minute we'll see have received the Holy Spirit of God, he's given us the answer and he's given us the power to share with people, not about the church. It's time to quit playing around and talking about the church. It's time to talk about the kingdom of heaven. They go through the process. They nail my Savior to the tree. They put him in the grave, and 3 days later he gets up out of the grave. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Don't miss this, because we're going to get to some good stuff in a minute. But here's what I've learned. Everybody look at me for just a minute. Don't assume that people understand the Scripture or the baseline anymore. Don't assume just because you want to tell them something about the Scripture that they understand the basis on which you want to share it. There are people in our world today who need to know the stories. People don't know why Noah's Ark was here. People don't know why Moses came on the planet. People don't know why Joshua did what he did. We've got to explain the story so that they can understand who Jesus is. Amen? Therefore, go back to what I said last night. Listen to me. This is just an introduction. You got to know what the Word says. Quit trusting leaders and preachers. Study it for yourself. In the mix of it, Jesus gets up out of the grave and he says in this process that he is doing something. And I'll just read 1 through 3. It says, Former treaties have I made, O Theophilus. He's sharing this with him. Of all that Jesus began to, listen, to do and teach. Say that again. To do and teach. Can I tell you what the problem is? And this is just raised off of the context of a bunch of questions and some other things that people have presented. You got to quit just teaching and you got to do. Same thing I said last night. Notice the do came before the teaching. Hello? You got to be doing it if you're going to teach it. You got to be doing it if you're going to teach it. And he said, what Jesus both came to do and did. All right, now, until the day which he was taken up, after that he was through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now listen, to whom also he showed himself alive. These guys had been following him. He got up out of the grave. He stayed around so publicly 500 people would know it. But in particular, he looked at the apostles, those that were following, those that had been there, those he had taught, those he said, I gave you the keys to the kingdom, those that he instructed, hang out till the Holy Spirit gets here, those that were in the mix. He stopped for 40 days And listen to what it says. And being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Can I challenge you with this? It's not about this church. When we're talking about revival, when we're talking about the church growing, when we're talking about people getting saved, when we're talking about things happening, we can no longer look at ourselves and our selfish position. It's about the kingdom of God. And when we get to that point, I promise you, revival will come. Now that's just the introduction. You see, what we do is, this is my church. This is my pew. In a matter of exercise, brother, let me tell you something to do next Sunday. Get them to all sit down, and once they sit down, say, everybody get up, and y'all move over there, and y'all move over here. You know what that does? I promise you, it'll mess the whole church up. You know why? Because even visitors go to the same spot over and over again. We're creatures of habit, and when we get in a habit, the reality of that is we don't really want to learn once we've made that habit because we're settled in. You got to be uncomfortable to learn something. Hello? And to be honest with you, the reason that we're not having revival, ain't nobody really that uncomfortable or you do something about the need for revival. You'd go visit, you'd go pray, you'd go do, you'd go share, you'd go, hello? And so let me just affirm for you tonight, it's not about Cadet Baptist Church. It's not about Baptists, it's not about Methodists, Pentecostals, Presbyterians, it's not about Catholics, it ain't about none of that. It's all about Jesus and the kingdom. And He gave instruction, and the people came together, and they did exactly what Jesus said to do. And He said, hang out for a little while. I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Instructor. I'm going to send the Power. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. They're there on Acts chapter 2. Day of Pentecost comes. The Holy Spirit falls. They begin to do what God told them to do because they're empowered. They come together and there's instruction on what the church looks like. Acts chapter 2 at the end of it, they're coming together. They're in unity. Listen to me. One of the second reasons we're not having revival is there's no unity. And let me express something. It may make you mad doctrinally. That's okay. I'm leaving. I'll be back if you want me. And if not, that's okay. If we'll get over all the stuff and focus on the kingdom, what they do at the church over there that don't match up over here won't make no difference. Because it's still all about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. When there's a title out front and we're uncomfortable with the tradition that they got, that's not our tradition, as long as we can keep focused on the kingdom, and the reality is there are believers in the church over there and believers in the church over there. There's believers in the church here. There's lost people in the church over there. There's lost people in the church over there. And there's lost people in here tonight. But we forget about the kingdom. In the mix of it, they go and they begin to have church and they're selling their possessions. They're taking care of one another. They're praising God and having favor with all the people in the world. And God's doing the work. That's what the church looks like. The people of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, sharing the Word of God, and having favor with all people. That's what the church looks like. Not a building, not a steeple. Matter of fact, if you looked up what a steeple is about, you wouldn't like it anymore. Hello? But because of tradition, we do things and we don't even know what it is. The reality, I mentioned a church relation. Did you know half the stuff we do in the Baptist church came from another kind of church? Hello? But yet we're going to argue about all that stuff about church rather than staying focused on the kingdom. All that being said, stand for the reading of God's Word. That was the introduction. I want you to see what we do. Listen, when revival comes and the church is right and we're participating because Jesus did and taught. Amen? Amen? Listen to me. I want us to get this tonight. I'm excited about the Word and I'm more and more convicted about preaching it. I'm more and more convicted that the deal is we got to focus in on what it says and deal with it. Listen, they're doing what they know is right, and out of that there is power. Can I ask you a question? Are you doing what's right, and do you know what is right? Acts chapter 3, it says, now Peter, same guy that he was talking to. Amen? Same guy that was involved earlier. Isn't it funny how this guy denied three times right after he killed him? They killed him? And the reality is, or actually he died for us, nobody killed him. Amen? That God empowered him to go preach and teach and did some stuff. And it says, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And certain man, lame of his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He was leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, and walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Notice this at all. And they knew, listen now, they knew that it was he which sat for alms outside the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for you directing our hearts. I pray that you'd open our minds and our hearts tonight to what you're doing. Lord, I pray that we be responsive to the Word, and Lord, we be obedient to what you'd have us to do. And God, this is not an act of obedience in where we do work, but it's where we respond to the work that you're already doing. Lord, we rebuke the enemy. He's a liar, a cheater, and a thief. He's a mocker of the brethren. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. And Father, he has no right nor business being in this place. And we plead the blood over this place. Hide me behind the cross, and Lord, we pray for the invitation. It's yours. Give us liberty to respond to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We come and we've got a distorted, messed up look at the church. We do some things that are good and fun, and we want to see activity, and we want to see growth, and we want to see something exciting, and we want to participate, and we want to see others come, and we get focused in on us. We get focused in on what we like. We get focused in on what we've been told to go and do. Amen or oh me. Now you notice I set the stage for this, and I want you to see these two guys, and the Holy Spirit's just come upon them. They're a participant in the church, and they're going to do some things, and the reality is we need to pay attention to how they go about it. It says in this passage that Peter and John went together. There's repetition. Listen to me. There's repetition in the Scripture. There's repetition in what He showed them. The reason they went together is God commanded to go two by two. Hang out with others for accountability and other things, and take yourself and do what you need to do. And they're continuing in what God did and taught. Amen or oh me. Are you still doing the things you've been taught? Are you still participating in the things that you've been instructed from the beginning of your salvation? You see, I want us to catch something here. It says, and the Lord, in the other verse in 47, the Lord had been adding to the church daily. Didn't say that they did it. He said he'd build his church. The Lord's the one that adds to the church. Amen? So if we'll start worrying about whether or not people are saved or lost and quit worrying about getting them to the church house, God might just fill the church up. Hello? In the mix of it, here's the deal. And it says, they go to the church, the temple, the place, and guess what they went to do? Pray. If you remember, there was a conflict at the church to begin with, and Jesus went and thumped it upside down, and he looked at them, and he said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Here's the reality. We don't come to pray anymore. Matter of fact, we get uneasy. We get stressed about it. Listen, we're praying, and people get a little out of kilter. Listen, I promise you this. You get a little squirmy because you're not comfortable with it. Because if we were to have a prayer service that lasted 2 hours, many of us have not participated in that kind of function in such a fashion that we'd be thinking about everything else and not focused in on it and being wondering when this thing's going to get over. Hello? But we'll watch a football game for 4 hours? My pastor just got back from Africa. They had 464 children in the mix of this Bible school. They didn't speak their language. While they're doing this Bible school, there's this group of men who show up. And there's a cluster of about 15 grown men over in the corner of the hut that is right beside the area where they're doing vacation Bible school. And they're teaching and preaching and sharing and singing. And every time they turn around, they're looking over here at this group. And this group of men's on their knees before God praying. 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 And praying. Could it be, and I know we've said we prayed, but could it be that the fact is we don't have revival because we're not asking God for it because we're not in the right position to ask for it? And here's the deal. The reality was after 2 hours they got up, said a few words, and after class it started raining. And I don't know the exact language because I'm not African, but my pastor said, he said, I knew when they started chanting it that the rain was what they had been praying for. Hello? Are y'all tracking with me? There was no doubt in his mind. And he said the pastor there looked him eyeball to eyeball and he looked at him. And without verbalizing it, the pastor kind of looked at him and said, y'all never experienced this kind of thing back in Kentucky, do you? You know why? If you notice, these disciples made that the priority, not something else. If we call for a prayer meeting tomorrow night, said we're not going to preach, we're not going to sing, we're going to have revival, and we're going to be here at 6 o'clock and we're going to pray from 6 to 8, you know how many people would show up? And don't miss this, they're headed in. And the real reality is we got to get back to the point where the serious things of life are the serious things of life. They're headed to the church house, and listen to me, if you're not connected to the church house, I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about the people. I told a gentleman earlier, you can't go to who you are. You are the church because you're the living body of Christ. If you're saved, you're part of the church. If you're not saved, you're lost. You're not a part of the church. Wherever you're at, the church is at. But we come together, listen, and you need to come together. People in the day we're in, Scripture tells us in Hebrews, there'll be a day when everybody's falling off, and the church, you don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. We need one another. I'm a broke down, messed up, jacked up dude. I got Jesus in my heart and I need support and encouragement. Hello? And if you're here and you don't feel that way, something's wrong with you. Because we got sin in our life. And because of sin in our life, there's stuff in our life. But together, even though we're jacked up and messed up, God can do something with us. Amen. Together. In the mix of it, they're headed in and there's a certain man. A certain man. A particular dude. A certain man. There are certain people in your life. Listen, we come to this place on a regular. And we pass by certain particular people on a regular basis. And we've already claimed it that it doesn't matter. It's not on our heart. They're going in. Dude's there. Everybody in town knows who he is. He's lame. He's been out there all his life. He's a begging. He's a begging. He's a begging. So what happens? They get numb to it. Can I tell you what? We get numb to lost people. We get numb to the people in our family who are in need. We get numb to the folks that are in our world around us. We just get numb. And so they're going in the church house. Boom, boom, boom. Headed where they need to be. Don't miss this. You can be doing all the right stuff and miss what you need to be involved in. Hello? Dude's out there and he says, alms, alms! Let me say something. Because we do the regular, and we've said Jesus is the Savior and He's got the power, people are looking to us for physical stuff. And in this world we live in, we cannot fulfill everything that everybody needs. Some of your all's problem and some of your family's problem is you've been trying to fulfill their needs, and that's the reason they miss what they really need. Hello? You're out doing all kinds of stuff trying to fulfill your need, what you think is your need, hello? And that's the reason you're missing the main thing. They're sitting there. Alms, alms. And it says together. Now listen to me. You can't miss those folks that are around here in this place. Some of you have got lost people in your life tonight. You've got so numb to it that you're going to step right into the church as a good believer. Woohoo! You're going to pass them by one more time. And they're going to split hell wide open. Peter and John, look. There's some peculiar words in here. I want you to catch them. It says he's laid there daily. Can I tell you that church is not just about Sunday? Being the church is every day. Being the church is every day. You don't just come do something on Sunday to say that you've fulfilled your position. It's a daily walk. It's a daily process. A daily together process. Not just on Wednesday night, Sunday night. It's a daily grind. Hello? In the mix of it, listen now. In case y'all didn't know it, I like this thing. Now watch this. I got to get my glasses out. I'm getting old. I didn't know it until about 3 months ago, but I decided I'm getting old. And if we're going to get through this tonight, I better put these on. All right? Don't let me lose you. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, that's good right there. I ain't going to lie about it. Now listen, verse 3. It says, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple. People watch us. Church people watch us. Let me ask you a question. Is that fair? Our gut answer is, no, that's not fair. Yes, it is. If we've had the same experience that these two dudes had, if we have the living being of the Holy Spirit in us because we've had an encounter with the Holy God and we've seen Him face to face, they deserve to watch us. In the mix of it, listen to me. Verse 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John. We are so random in evangelism. We're so random in life. We're so random in the questions that I've had about discipleship about who we're going to focus on. At this moment, because there was a need, listen to me. You can go try to connect with people, but you know where you need to connect with them at? Where their needs are at. Where their hurts are at. Where their deficits are at. Where their dilemmas are at. That's where you connect with them at. And it says they fasten their eyes on him. Particular man. Who's in your family that's lost? Who's in this neighborhood that's lost? What culture in this area that's lost? What group of people in this place that's lost? What church area is lost? What school? In the morning we're gathering at the poll. Which school is that? Are we... Listen... Have we got our eyes fastened on them? Are they our focus and intent? Have we really deliberately, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, put our heart and soul in? Your eyes are the window of the soul. Did y'all know that? That's who you really are, is the dude on the inside. And so when you get eyeball to eyeball with somebody, it's the real deal. And the process is, we ain't getting real. And he says, I'm looking at you. Together. No lone rangers. That's why in our ministry, if you're a lone ranger Christian, you want to go do ministry, you can't do it with us. You got to be connected to some folks. You need the accountability. Hello? Now watch this. Zoned in. That's the one right there. He's the one in need. He's the one talking. He's the one hurting. He's the one asking questions. Hello? We just want to get a long list to go charge. Grab a hold of stuff. Don't you think that the pain and struggles of life are what brought the dude to the point where he could be heard? And the reason that he's heard is because God's got an answer for him? Hello? God came into the world not to help and fix those that are okay. He came to save that which is lost, that which is sick. You want to see the church grow? Go focus on the sick stuff. At the prison, at the jail, down there where everybody's on dope, in the struggles of life, at the abortion clinic, where people are hurting. What we want to do is go reach those that look like us, smell like us, walk like us, talk like us, because that's easy. Hello? Matter of fact, look around you. We same pigment. Did I say that out loud? Yes, I did. You know, because here's the deal. If we go deal with the others that we've had problems with or prejudice with, we're going to have to figure out who we are, not who they are. Ouch. And it's easier not to worry about who we are, just keep focusing on who they are. That's extra tonight. But they focused. Church, do you have a focus? Leaders, do you have a people, a person, a group, somebody you got to focus on? Listen to what it says. And they said to him, look on us. Over here, boy. You're hollering alms. You got a problem over here. That's a dangerous thing to do. Because here's the deal. You better be ready to deal with what you got to deal with if you want people to know you got the answer. I got the answer. Be honest with you, sometimes I seem like I'm a little crazy, and I am. But here's the deal. I just believe Jesus. I can't handle nothing He can, but I got the answer because He's in me. And the reality is I don't mind until, baby, come here. Come here. Let's talk about that. Let me help you with that. Let me see what we can do. Hello? Y'all tracking with me? Can I ask you a question? I don't know what your address is, where you live. I don't know what it would look like. Can I ask you a question? In your mind, in your heart tonight, if you got real about it, if you told people that are out there that are hurting and struggling and messed up, look on us. Look on us at Cadet. Look on us at our church. Look on us where we come from. Look on us at my house, 231 Center Street, Princeton, Kentucky. Look on us! What would they see? You see, here's the problem with that. We're always looking on them. Says he fastened their eyes on, but it wasn't with critical state. He focused in, and then he said to that guy, "You look at us." You see, the reality is we've got it reversed in the church. We look at the ills and problems and situations with judgment when we ought to be telling them to look at us for the answer. Can I ask you a question? Do you believe you got the answer? Do you, look at me personally, do you believe that you have got the answer? Because there's a confidence because of the Holy Spirit of God in these two that they have the answer. Now, it's not what the world's telling. It's not what they're really looking for. It's not really what people are expecting. But we got the answer. He says, alms, alms, give me alms. Said, look on us. Now look at verse 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Number two in this process, if they look on you, what are they going to see? Number two, let me ask you this. Since they're really expecting, we've said we've got the answer. Can I tell you a story? There's a gentleman by the name of Richard Abraham. He's a city councilman in Paducah, Kentucky. He played for the University of Kentucky for football. He's about 6'9", weighs about 450 pounds. He's black as ace of spades, sings for Jesus, loves the Lord, and loves to preach the Word of God. I took him to a church one night, kind of like guessing, out in the country. I was the youth pastor. Didn't have any clue, didn't have any knowledge to know any better. I was just dumb. I believe Jesus, and I believe the Holy Spirit's in people. And when those two things are there, he's got the ability to do something with them. Amen? So I asked this brother, I said, you come to church, we're going to close out this youth weekend. Listen to me. So he comes to the church house. He got out, and my pastor's office was right there. And he walked through the door with his white wife. Uh-oh. I'm just being honest with you. And the preacher said, Brother Harold, come here. He said, you didn't tell me he was black. I said, I didn't know it made no difference. So the room was unsteady, to say the least. He came in, sat down right there. You can't hide a 450-pound black man, hello? So he got up and shared his testimony. And the crossed arms and the attitude, glaring eyes changed to brokenness and tears. When he began to sing, they began to shout for joy. So we began to converse with one another, encourage one another, challenge one another. And the reality is he was doing street ministry in Paducah, Kentucky. Third Street, where the prostitutes are, where the crazy folks are, where there are hundreds and hundreds of children. He was gathering kids together, and they were teaching them the Bible. One evening, though, he began to have problems with the teenagers. There was this big stir, and he's trying to have an event, and all kinds of things are happening, and all of a sudden he notices down here in this process that all the teenagers have evacuated what's going on, and they're down here at an alley. So he walks down to see what's going on. He watches for a little while. There's no boy there participating in black magic. Candle on the table, things are going on. Listen to me, don't stick your head in the proverbial sand. The devil is real, things are real in the world, and we need to realize that there's attractions and distractions to people, even though we're trying to help them. And the reality is, look at me, it's not fair, but the Scripture tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. But the reality in America today is they got to see something if they're going to believe it. What'd he say? Look on us. He said, when he said to them, hey, he said they were expecting something of them. What are they going to get if they show up with you all? By the way, you came tonight, what are you looking for? So here's what the problem was. This man had a small card table, things are going on, the kids are oohing and aahing, and he is levitating that table off the ground. 2 weeks later, he grabs the teens and he gets them together and begins to talk about it. One of the boys had a frank conversation with him. He said, Richard, I hear what you're telling me. And I go to church with my granny and I go to this place and they keep talking about praying for folks and they keep saying God's able, but we never hear them tell us how God did it. But I can go down there Saturday night and watch that dude say, watch me, I'm going to show you something. He calls on whoever he's calling on and the table moves. I want to see something. Can I tell you people want to see something out of us? Not levitating tables. But they want to see the power of God worked out in our lives because we've been obedient and we can share with great joy and glee that God has done what He said He would do in our lives. And it comes from our testimony. The reason that we don't have revival is folks are not sharing testimony of what God's done. How did they overcome the enemy? Revelations 12 says, by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb's already been shed. What they're waiting on is the word of your testimony about what God's done in your life. Now listen to me. Peter said, if you'll remember when he told them that, he sent them out and he said, I want you to take your satchel and your sandals And I want you to go, and I want you to share, and I want you to raise the dead. I want you to heal folks. I want you to do what's necessary, because I've already showed you how to do it. And if they don't pay you, don't worry about it. Hello? That'd mess up a whole lot of pastors today. Mess up our thinking about church as well. Some of you think that the giving is about us taking care of the church. No, you're giving out of the joy of what God's done for you. God does it without you. God will do it without you. In the mix of it, listen, here's the deal. So they had gone out, and in the mix of it, he's looking down at this guy who's hurting, and he says these words. He says, silver and gold have I none. You see, we can't come up with enough activities and programs and stuff to meet the needs. We need to be meeting the needs when we can, but that's not the point. The point is getting to this part where he says, in the name of Jesus. Now watch what he does. He reaches out his right hand. The right hand of authority. Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father because God has given us, listen to me, an authority in this world. He's given us a power in this world. He's given us a liberty in this world. Everything that He's got, He said, we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. He's empowered us and endued us with Holy Spirit power to get done what we need to get done. Because of different things that have happened in the world and stuff that we see in religion, and we don't believe it anymore. Oh, Peter and John, they didn't have enough sense not to believe it. So he looks at a dude that's lame, says, I ain't got a dime in my pocket, buddy. But in the name of Jesus, and he reaches out his hand, brother. He reaches down to him. We cannot win people unless we're going to get in contact with them. Until we're going to rub up against them. Until we're going to get real with them. Until we're going to get in their business, Brother Bill. And I believe with all my heart in the picture of it, it's like this. He reaches out. And he reaches up to glory. And he says, in the name of Jesus, get up. And he says, immediately, something happened. You want to be excited about what God's doing? You want revival in your church? You work under the authority of God He's given you. Handle the stuff that's in front of you. Watch Him do something. And I promise you, it'll excite you. He says he jumps up. Now listen, don't miss this. He gets up. The trouble that he had is gone. You know why it's gone? Not because he's able to do something for him, but because Jesus entered into him. Because Jesus arrived on the scene. They need Jesus. They don't need the church and they don't need our stuff. They need Jesus. If you're here tonight and you're struggling with life, let me just make it plain to you. Maybe nobody's ever said this to you before. Your problem is not the issues of life. Your problem is you need Jesus. To be quite frank with you, it's not hard to receive. You just got to take the conduit of the people that are telling you and receive it, and God will do something in you. Does that make sense? That's why that if anybody had been saved without humanity being involved in it, they'd be saved already. Hello? That's why you are vitally important to the process as the church to get involved in the humanity that's around you. Quit playing games. Your lost people are going to hell and there'll be a day. It's our fault. And he leaping up stood and walked. Now watch this. Quit doing church ministry and do kingdom ministry, and look what happens. The church starts getting full. It says, and he entered with them into the temple. You want to know why lost folks don't like to go to church? It don't make no sense. And I don't know why we try to get folks that it don't make sense to come to something that don't make no sense. Hello? The worship service is an equipping and praising service for us to go out there to do what we're supposed to do so that lost people can get saved and come back and understand what we're doing. And so when he encountered him, it says he got up and said, okay, I'll go to church now. I like that. Does that make sense? I don't want y'all to think I'm talking down to you all night. I'm just convicted that we got to understand what's going on in these things so that we can deal with life appropriately and deal with life appropriately so people's lives will be changed and people can go to glory with us. Now watch this. You don't have to get things stirred up for this to happen. It says in Peter... hang on now. He went in. I'm going to turn the page now. There we go. And all the people... Who was that? When I say all. Of the lame, crippled people. He wasn't the only one outside. Sick folk. Scoundrels that were trying to sell stuff out in the temple area. Difficult people. Saved folks. Other disciples. The priests. It says all the people saw him. Walking and praising God. Listen, when you get saved, there's just something in you that causes you to praise the Lord. If you don't have anything in your gut that tells you tonight that you ought to praise the Lord, something's wrong with you. Something's missing. If the distractions and things of this world outweigh the focus on Jesus and what He's done for you, there's something wrong with us. And we need to get back. If we're here tonight and we want to see revival, we need to get back to the point where we remember what God did for us, brought us out of the hellhole we were in, put us on the solid ground, allowed us to stand in Him and be able to worship Him because He is worthy, because none of us deserve it. That man didn't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Nobody else deserves it. But when that happens, it will cause us, compel us to go to Him and worship Him. And it says, and they knew that it was He which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at the things which happened unto Him. Can I say this? If you're saved, other people will know it. Listen to me clearly. If you're saved, other people know it. They'll see a change in your life. Tonight, as I share this, I just want to challenge you. I know some of the message way I'm going about it are not normal revival messages. But church, here's what I want to challenge you with. Real revival is the church doing what it's supposed to do. That doesn't mean excitement in the building. That doesn't mean in a euphoria because we were able to come together. That means that God's people who are called by His name have become obedient to what God had challenged us to do, and that is to go and present the kingdom of heaven unto a lost and dying world. And so here's how you'll know revival's happened at this church when this meeting is over. You'll no longer sit in the pew. You'll be challenged to get up and move. You'll be looking for people, asking them to look at you because you know God's done a work in your heart. The Holy Spirit of God is in you and you want to see a change in them, and you work at meeting their needs so that they can experience the same thing that you've got, and then you'll know that revival has come. Now on a side note, there are many people, and I will not disclaim, nor will I frustrate you in this process. Meaning this, you're here tonight, and you came because people invited you. Amen. We need to keep doing that. But I'm going to tell you something. The only reason that they've done that is because they love you. The only reason that they've harassed you is because they see a need that's grander than just sitting in this crazy world in a frustrated state, and there's an answer. They can't give you everything you're looking for. They can't fix all the junk that's going on. They can't deal with all the things that you think that God can't do. But I tell you what they can do. Yeah, they can point you to the answer, and He is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who died on the cross, who got up out of the grave, and He has a hope for you. And if you'll reach out, look at me, and receive it through the power of God, I promise you tonight He will change your life. If I did not believe that, y'all don't know me, if I did not believe that, I wouldn't leave my family at home. I wouldn't drive 4 hours, and I wouldn't stand up here babbling. But I believe with all my heart, because of the experience I've had, listen to me, with the Holy Spirit of God, because He came into me when I asked Him to forgive me and save me, that I have the liberty to share with you there's power in the blood to change your life. Run to Jesus! So if you're here and hurting, nobody else knows what it is, and people have been passing you by, Jesus is here right now. If you're here tonight and there are things that seem insurmountable in your life that you cannot handle, Jesus is the answer. Beyond that, if these men had not involved themselves in His, He would have died in that helpless state. But it says He got up and had joy in His life. And if you're looking for joy and peace in your life, if you're looking to be made whole, if you're looking to understand what church is about, if you're looking to understand why believers do what they do, if you're looking at folks and you're dismayed, quit looking at them. Look at Jesus, because He's got the answer. Church, it's time. And there's some of those folks out there, listen to me, you need to focus on tonight. They're lost. Don't worry about, listen, together. Everybody keeps working for the preacher to go do it. He's got to have somebody do it with him. Some of you are waiting on somebody else. Go get somebody, go do it with them. But the reality is, it's time to get up and go. It's time to deal with it, and it doesn't happen in here. Quit waiting for it to happen in here. It's not going to happen. But those that you're focused on, maybe you need to come pray for them tonight and say, God, make them my focus. Clean my life up, Lord, so that when I say that, look at me, church, don't miss this. Clean my life up, Lord, so that when I say, look on me, they'll get something. Right now, if they looked on you, all they see is the sin and the hell that's going on, and there ain't nothing to worry about, so I'm not going to worry about it. But if you let God change your life and get the sin out of your life, you can say to them, look on me, because God's done a work in me, and their lives will be changed. That's revival. The rest of us, listen to me. I sense in my spirit you've been looking for an answer. You've been watching other stuff and you think it's fake and it's farce. Can I say something? Jesus is real. And you came to this place tonight and you're lost. Look on me for just a minute. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed. The musicians come. I want to ask you a question. You're here tonight and you're frustrated with life. There are things in your life that you don't see any answer to. And you've been talking to these church folk and things are going on. People have told you about you, but you're still hurting. And the reality is you're lost. You've never given your heart and life to Christ. You've never reached out to Him. You've never let Him transform your life. You will die in that state and go to hell. If that's you, listen to me. Would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? I'm not going to come get you, but I am going to offer you my hand tonight and say this, God wants you. If that's you, would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? I'm not going to come get you. I'm going to make the altar open, but I'm going to place my hand out and say, if you want to be saved, you come down here. I'm going to show you how. Would you raise your hand right now? The Holy Spirit of God showed you you're lost and undone, struggling with life, and you've never experienced the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And you've been looking for an answer in drugs, alcohol. You've been looking at it in women. You've been looking at it in stuff and junk and things. Whatever it may be, quit looking for stuff. Look to the Savior tonight. Others of you'd say you're passing people by. You need to come to this altar in just a moment. Ask God to help you with your focus and help you with your life so people can get something when they ask of you. Would you get real tonight, church? Father, I pray for every person that's in this building. God, I pray that you'd take your word and use it. Father, the conviction that's in our heart, that you would use it. And Father, we would be responsive to you, a true and living God. We pray this in Jesus' name. As they begin to sing all over this building, you listen to me. The altar's open. There's some of you in here, you're lost. You've been trusting in the church. You need Jesus. You've been trusting in people. You need Jesus. You've been trusting in what you've seen out of folks. You need Jesus. He's the one with the power. Don't leave this place lost. Don't leave this place still sitting on the mat begging alms. Receive what God's got for you. Church, the altar's open. Whatever God asks you to do, would you do it? Stand all over the building. The altar's open. If you need to come be saved, come join us.
Page 571.
Bring to this altar or to have prayer with someone else about, or just to do business with Him on your own. Please don't put it off. Because I can tell you, you're not going to find a person any more in turmoil or unhappy than a person that's trying to push God away. I can guarantee you God's a whole lot stronger than us. But the sad thing is, I'm afraid some people wait too long. You know, when we draw our last breath, that's our last chance. We won't get another chance after that. And even if we're saved, do we really want to cross over having put Jesus off on that thing that he's called us to do? I don't want to die like that. I don't know about the rest of y'all. So it's just a matter of us just saying, here I am. I'm going to surrender it to you. You know, I was 30 whenever I finally gave my heart to the Lord. And I beat my head against a wall for many years trying to do it my way. And I can tell you, the moment that I gave my heart to Jesus, I could tell something changed. I could tell something was way different. There was a peace inside of me I didn't have before that moment. And I'd like to say everything's perfect after that, but it's not. But I'll tell you what, I do have Jesus. I do have the Holy Spirit living in me to go through it. And so I am absolutely 100% totally sure Jesus saves. And he does send the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't that I got everything straightened up and went to him and he said, all right, you're good enough. No, I was still all messed up. He's still helping me. He's still helping me. It's called sanctification. So if you're ready to give your heart to Jesus, please don't put it off another moment. Please. I'll tell you what, tonight we're going to do something different with the offering. Last night we had an extra song, Pass the Plates. Tonight, I'm just going to leave the plates back there on that back shelf. I'm going to leave one plate. In fact, Roger's going to come here and get it, and you guys can watch where Roger puts it. And I'm going to trust y'all to give joyfully whatever God's laid on your heart to help support those who are coming to help with the revival. Just put it, Roger, right there on one of those shelves. There you go. Everybody see where Roger put it? All right. On your way out, you just kindly put whatever you want to put in there. And I trust God lead you. And I trust you'll do it unto the Lord. Because you're not just giving to the revival people. You're giving to the Lord. And he will use it to help them continue to spread the good news. And then beyond that, I want you to pray tonight who God would have you to witness to even tomorrow. I think there was a lot of truth stated tonight. We keep trying, you know, just trying to desperately get people to come to church. I think we take it one step further. Sure, we'd love for them to come to church. But let's tell them about Jesus while we're talking about church. Because he's the whole reason. He's the head of the church. Amen? I think they get Jesus. I know they're going to understand. They're going to want to be here. So we're going to ask, is there anything on anybody's heart? Any testimonies you want to give tonight before we